Wake up weekday mornings, L.I. in the A.M. with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader, 103.9 L.I. News Radio.
Well, the shielding of immigrants no more, at least for 2019, is concerned. Part of our third Spotlight segment on Long Island. Chris Chmielinski is the Director of Content and Activism, in charge of mobilizing the activists and what content they put out on their social media accounts. Talking numbers USA, we welcome Chris to the airwaves here on LA News Radio for the first time. Chris, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you aboard here. Of course, news coming out yesterday. Let's point out regarding what exactly is Numbers USA. It's an immigration reduction organization that seeks to reduce both legal and illegal immigration to the United States. Also advocates for immigration reduction through user-generated fax, email, and direct mail campaigns. Numbers USA quite active yesterday. That's why we wanted to have you on, Chris. What was the assessment when word came down of the TPS being somewhat stripped come September 2019?
Well, it was our opinion on it is that TPS, the T in TPS stands for temporary, but the program really hasn't been used as a temporary program over the years. In fact, very few of the the countries that have received temporary protected status over the years have actually lost that designation. So we were happy to see that the Department of Homeland Security and DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen took this step in ending the temporary status for the Salvadorians. The status was first given to them back in 2001 when the country suffered some earthquakes, and in recent years. We've been offering visitor visas to folks from El Salvador. So people have come here from El Salvador and they've returned back to their home country. So certainly it's safe to travel back and forth between the two countries. So I think the administration made the right decision. But the bigger message of saying, you know what, temporary protected status is not a permanent program. It is a temporary program. And of course, they're giving them 18 months. So that should give them enough time to figure out how they're going to proceed, whether they're going to try to stay in the United States through legal channels or whether they will return back to their home country.
And this, of course, news, if one has not heard, the Trump administration ending protections for certain nationals of El Salvador. It's a move could leave more than 200,000 immigrants who have lived in the United States more than 15 years without any legal status. The Department of Homeland Security announcing, and as far as determination, will come with an 18-month delay, as the administration also recently did in ending other recent TPS, temporary protective status, for other countries. Obviously, Chris, a firestorm of discussion as far as what El Salvador has become, which has become a violent nation, and to send people back there, one is wondering, well, how could the United States do this for those who have entrenched themselves in this country and now going back to a land where there is plenty of violence and whatnot? We know it's a breeding ground for gangs. What do you say, though, to those individuals who have made a life here, who have done the right thing, who have made big-time contributions to society, and now they're going back to a whirlwind of situations in their homeland?
Well, again, when they applied for the status, the first word of that status is temporary. So they should have known that they, at some point in time, their status was going to likely end in the United States and they would have to return back to El Salvador. So we would hope that they would recognize that fact, that it was a temporary program, even though it had been renewed for the last 15, 16 years or so. But going back to the conditions in El Salvador, and again, one of the reasons that DHS used to make this decision was that the State Department has been routinely issuing travel visas to Salvadorans. So they've been coming to the United States and they've been returning back. So why is it okay for us for our State Department to continue to issue travel visas to a country if it's so unsafe. You know, we're allowing people to come for 2, 3, 4 week visits, or to come here for business, or to come here for tourist reasons, and then they return back home. Why can't we do the same for those that we offered temporary status to? Why is it not okay for them to also return home? So the question then becomes, should we just shut off all visas to El Salvador if it's not safe for those with TPS status in the country to return back home? But again, we have been issuing those visas, so it must be safe enough for folks to return back.
I know what you say as far as temporary, that's a key word here, but again, you know, you can't take away from the fact that many have resettled, established their families and lives here in this country. And most of them actually see themselves much more as American citizens than Salvadoran citizens. And to end that protection and program, you're talking about a major disruption. Many communities across the United States will see. A lot of people have called it inhumane, not consistent with values of this country. I mean, what do you say to folks who basically say, you know, inhumane and not consistent with American values here?
Well, again, they've given them an 18-month window, so there are other legal channels that they can use to remain in the United States. They can apply for work-based, they can non-immigrant visas. If they qualify for one of the green card programs, they can apply for that. So there are ways that they can stay in the country, and DHS has given them enough time to try to research those different options and make a decision. And if they decide that, one, they're not eligible for one of those programs, or two, they actually do want to return back home, again, they've been given 18 months to take care of their affairs in the United States and eventually return home. But again, there are a number of legal programs that they can use to stay in. There's guest worker programs, and again, there are the green card categories also that they may be able to qualify for, especially if they have U.S. citizen relatives living in the United States.
And I know that it'll be kicked around in Congress. I know a lot of negotiators out there, Senate-wise, discussing potentially, Chris Chmielewski, a deal to end the diversity lottery, which is, I guess, you know, it is a top target of the president in exchange for some resolution on TPS. If you listen to the Republican Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, you know, apparently, you know, they can deal with the diversity visa if they pair it with TPS. You know, doing some kind of reallocation visa in that regard. Do you think that could happen as far as a little bit of a negotiation there?
Yeah, I think at this point in time, pretty much everything is on the table. So, and again, all of the powers in Congress now, if they pass something, it would have to get signed by President Trump, or they would have to be able to overcome a veto should he not sign the legislation. But a lot of this is in Congress's hands, so they can make changes, and there's going to be an election between now and the time that the TPS status, for example, for El Salvador expires. So there's time for Congress to act. And again, you talked about the diversity visa lottery program. That is something we have heard details of a bill that Jeff Flake and Dick Durbin in the Senate are working on that would offer more protection, extended or permanent protection for these Salvadorians who have the TPS status in exchange for that visa lottery program. So we'll just have to see what Congress comes up with and see if they address the TPS folks, as well as address the DACA folks, and see what other things they throw in there, whether it be the visa lottery, whether it be chain migration, whether it be border security, whether it be E-Verify.
And that's where the tug of war, I think, will take place, Chris. You know, you're going to have a lot of negotiations going on here, you know, shielding recipients of DACA from deportation. I think it's the March deadline coming up. You have a lot of both parties here grappling with just how to give this president a win, call it symbolic in nature, but nonetheless a win without really sabotaging a compromise that they have been carefully and crafting for a long time. And I'm talking about the wall. You know, you talk about the wall as far as being a necessity as part of a big deal here. Why? Because Donald Trump campaigned on it. And the pathway to citizenship is the wall, as far as the Democrats are concerned here. So it's going to be an interesting tug of war as far as the outcome.
Yeah, it certainly is. And there are other things that the president has identified, again, chain migration and the visa lottery in conjunction with a wall. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of legislation Congress can come up with. I think the White House is also going to put together their own proposal. We saw some movement last week. The White House met with some Republican senators, and it looks like they're going to try to put together a meeting with some Democratic senators as well over the next week or so. So I think we're going to start to see some movement as not only the spending deadline approaches, which is January 19th, the end of next week, but also as that March 5th deadline starts to come closer as well.
And I'll tell you another factor here. You know, you're talking about a wall that's going to cost, what, $18 billion over the next 10 years to construct. You know, you got a lot of back and forth here as well. Very key political question now is this wall, and again, how do you give the president the win without alienating Democrats from a bipartisan solution as far as DACA is concerned? You got a lot of budget dollars in place. You got the storms, Puerto Rico, Texas, Florida. You know, there's a lot that is going on here. And then, of course, you know, you got the threat of another shutdown of the government come January the 19th. Are they going to be able to get everything in under this deadline? I mean, that's key as far as that's concerned. It's all coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it really is. They have a full slate and to boot all of this immigration stuff that's going on too. So, you know, I think what happens between now and the end of next week on the spending situation will be telling. Do they just kick the can down the road another couple of weeks like they did in December, or do they try to put in place a more permanent spending bill that takes them at least till the end of the fiscal year, which would be in September, and then that will free up some time. And, of course, it's an election year too. So, you know, once we get past March or so, the primaries start up, congressional primaries start up, and then Congress tends to really slow down when those things happen because not too many members of Congress want to go on record on a whole lot of issues during an election year.
No question about it, and that is also going to be looked at as far as November is concerned. Chris Chmielewski from Numbers USA, a pleasure. Well, hopefully we'll have more discussion coming up in the future.
Thanks for having me.